A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know, Korn, this whole show runs on GPU compute, and we wouldn't be here without Modal.
Seriously. And that's what powers all our text-to-speech. Everything you're hearing right now.
They're an AI infrastructure platform. Developers use them to run GPU workloads in the cloud with zero infrastructure headache.
If you're building anything with AI, check them out. Modal.com. Welcome to My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn, my brother Herman is here as always, and today we are doing an AI model spotlight. The model under the microscope is Cogito V2211671B, built by a lab called Deep Cogito. Herman, let's start at the top. Who are these people?
Deep Cogito is a US-based AI lab, and their whole identity is built around open-weight models. They are not trying to be OpenAI or Anthropic in the sense of keeping everything behind a closed API. The weights are out there, you can pull them, you can self-host. That is a deliberate positioning choice, not just a distribution decision.
Are they a known quantity in the space, or is this more of a newer name?
Newer name, but not an unknown one. What they are known for is taking strong open source base models and doing serious post-training work on top of them. In this case, the base they are working from is DeepSeek V3 base, the November 2024 checkpoint. And if you follow the openweight space at all, you know that DeepSeek V3 was a significant release, 671 billion total parameters, mixture of experts' architecture, trained on roughly 14.8 trillion tokens. It was widely regarded as one of the strongest open-source base models available when it dropped, competitive with GPT-4o and Claude 3.5 Sonnet on code and math benchmarks.
Deep Cogito is not training from scratch here. They are inheriting a very capable base and then doing their own work on top of it.
The post-training is theirs. The base is DeepSeek's. And that is a legitimate and increasingly common approach in the open-weight ecosystem. You are not getting credit for the base model, but you are absolutely accountable for what your post-training does to it. That is where Deep Cogito is making their claim.
The claim they're making with this particular model is pretty direct. They're calling it the best open-weight, large language model built by a US company. We will get into whether the benchmarks support that. But first, let's talk about what this thing actually is under the hood. Walk me through what this model actually is. 671 billion parameters is a big number. What are we working with architecturally?
The parameter count is confirmed. 671 billion total, and based on the DeepSeek V3 base lineage, we are almost certainly looking at a mixture of experts, architecture, or MoE. The way MoE works is that not all parameters are active on every forward pass. DeepSeek V3 specifically activates 37 billion parameters per token, even though the total model weight is 671 billion. So the compute cost per inference call is much closer to a 37 billion parameter dense model than to a 671 billion one.
That matters for cost and speed.
It matters a lot. It is why you can run a model of this nominal size at a price point that would be impossible for a true 671 billion dense model. I should be clear that Deep Cogito's own model card does not explicitly confirm the MoE architecture or the active parameter count. That detail comes from the DeepSeek V3 base, and the supplementary research corroborates it. But if you are building on top of that base, and you have not fundamentally changed the architecture, the MoE structure carries over.
What about context window? Because that is usually one of the first things engineers want to know.
The model card does not state a context window directly. What we can say from independent sources is that the Together AI listing cites 128,000 tokens, and some configurations apparently go up to around 163,000. So the working assumption for most deployments is a 128,000 token context. But I want to be honest that this is not stated on the primary source page, so treat it as a strong indicator rather than a confirmed spec.
Now the thing that Deep Cogito is really hanging their hat on here is not just the base model. It is what they did in post-training. Tell me about the process supervision approach.
This is the genuinely interesting part. Most reasoning models are trained with outcome supervision. You show the model a problem, it generates a chain of thought, and you reward it based on whether the final answer is correct. Process supervision is different. You are supervising the reasoning chain itself, not just the outcome. You are giving the model feedback on whether each step in its reasoning is on the right track.
Why does that produce shorter chains?
The claim is that it builds better intuition for what a productive search trajectory looks like. Instead of the model generating long, exploratory chains and hoping to land on the right answer, it learns to recognize earlier when it is heading somewhere useful. The result, according to DeepCogito, is that Cogito V22.1 uses significantly fewer tokens per reasoning task than comparable models. The figure that comes up in the reception research is an average of around 4,894 tokens per response, and they claim that is roughly 60% more efficient than similar capability reasoning models.
That is a meaningful difference if it holds up across workloads.
It is not just an efficiency story. Shorter chains also mean lower latency and lower cost per call, which compounds quickly at scale. The other improvements they are claiming over the prior version are in instruction following, coding, longer and more complex queries, multi-turn conversation, and creative tasks. No quantitative delta on any of those, just qualitative claims from the lab. We will see what the benchmark section tells us about how those claims hold up.
Let us talk pricing. Herman, what are we working with here?
I should flag this up front, Korn. All pricing we are about to cite is as of April 20, 2026, and these numbers shift, sometimes weekly. That is a standing caveat for this series, and it applies here more than most, because the source page itself lists no pricing whatsoever. DeepCogito does not publish rates on their model card. You have to go to the host platforms directly.
What are the host platforms?
The model is available through OpenRouter, Fireworks AI, Together AI, Base10, RunPod, and Ollama Cloud. And if you want to self-host, you can pull the weights via Ollama locally or grab a GGUF Qantas version through Unsloth on Hugging Face. So the deployment surface is reasonably broad for an open weight model.
What is the pricing picture across those platforms?
The supplementary research points to a range of roughly 90 cents to $1.25 per million tokens, but I want to be careful here. That figure is not sourced from the model card. It comes from third-party comparison pages, and those can lag or misattribute. The number that appears most consistently in the reception research is around 90 cents per million tokens on the input side, but I would not quote that to a client without checking the platform page directly on the day you are building your cost model.
For context, how does that range sit relative to comparable open models?
It is competitive. You are not paying frontier closed model rates. But the more interesting comparison is probably cost per useful output token rather than cost per raw token, which is actually where the efficiency argument from the process supervision work starts to matter. We will come back to that when we get into the benchmarks.
Let us get into what the benchmarks actually show. What is DeepCogito claiming, and how much of it holds up?
The headline claim is that Cogito V221671B is the best open-weight LLM built by a U.S. company, and that it performs competitively with frontier closed and open models. Those are strong words, and I want to be transparent about something before we dig into the numbers. The benchmark results on the official model card are presented as graphs, not as text. We cannot extract the figures directly from that source. What we have are scores from third-party reception research, and I will attribute those as we go.
What are the numbers that are circulating?
The figures that appear consistently across the reception research are these. On GPQA Diamond, which tests graduate-level science reasoning, the model scores 76.8%. On AIM 2025, the American Invitational Mathematics Examination, it scores 72.7%. On MMLU Pro, the Multitask Language Understanding Benchmark, 84.9%. On LiveCodeBench, which is a coding evaluation, 68.8%. And on HLE, Humanities Last Exam, 11%.
That last one sounds low.
It is low in absolute terms, but HLE is hard. It is designed to be resistant to benchmark saturation, and 11% puts Cogito V21 in the same general territory as other strong models. It is not an outlier there. The more interesting comparison is on GPQA Diamond, where 76.8 is a competitive number. One third-party comparison page puts that alongside Claude Opus and O3, and Cogito holds its own in that neighborhood, though it does not top those particular models on every axis.
The token efficiency story. Does the benchmark data support that?
The reception research does support it. The figure that comes up is an average of roughly 4,894 tokens per response, and the claim is that this represents approximately 60% shorter reasoning chains than models of comparable capability. That is a distinctive trait. Most reasoning models in this capability tier are burning considerably more tokens to reach similar accuracy. If that figure is reproducible across diverse workloads, and that is still a meaningful if, it has real implications for cost and latency at scale.
Are there any benchmarks where the model looks weaker?
Terminal Bench Hard, which tests agentic task completion, comes in at 16.7%. Long context reasoning scores are modest. And the instruction following benchmark, IF Bench, is 46.3%, which is not a standout number. So the profile is strong on reasoning and math, more mixed on agentic and long context tasks. That is worth keeping in mind when we get to the workloads conversation.
Given that benchmark profile, where does this model actually earn its place? If I am an engineer evaluating it for a project, what is the honest case for reaching for it?
The clearest case is reasoning. Heavy work where token efficiency matters. Think complex, multi-step problems where you need the model to work through a chain of logic and arrive at a defensible answer, but you are also watching your inference bill. The process supervision training approach is specifically designed for that. The model is not just trained to get the right answer at the end, it is trained to develop better intuition for the right search path through the problem. In practice, that means it tends to reach correct answers with shorter chains, which translates directly to lower cost and faster responses at scale.
What does that mean for a concrete use case?
If you are building a coding assistant or a code review pipeline, this is interesting. The SWE bench evaluation was included explicitly, and live code bench at 68.8% is a strong number. The model has clearly been optimized with coding tasks in mind. If you're running something like an automated pull request review system or a backend that generates and explains code, the combination of coding capability and token efficiency is a meaningful advantage over models that burn twice the tokens for similar output quality.
What about multi-turn and instruction following? The benchmark numbers there were more mixed.
They were, and I want to be honest about that. The IF bench number is not a standout. But the lab's own qualitative claims and the reception research do consistently highlight multi-turn conversation and longer query handling as areas of improvement in V2, so the signal is that it is better than the prior version on those dimensions. Whether it is best in class is less clear from the evidence we have.
Where would you steer people away from it?
Anywhere that requires vision, audio, or embeddings. This is a text-only model. No multimodal capability is mentioned anywhere in the documentation. If your pipeline involves image understanding, document parsing from scanned files, or any kind of audio transcription, you need a different model entirely. That is not a criticism, it is just a scope boundary.
What about agentic workloads? We mentioned Terminal Bench Hard was low.
Right, 16.7% on Terminal Bench Hard is a flag. If you are building a fully autonomous agent that needs to navigate complex terminal environments or execute long multi-step agentic sequences, the evidence does not strongly support this model for that use case. Reasoning assistant, yes. Autonomous agent operating in complex environments, the numbers suggest caution.
We have covered the architecture, the benchmarks, and the workloads. What is the broader industry actually saying about this one? Is there meaningful reception yet, or is it still early?
There is reception, and it is broadly positive, though with some nuance worth unpacking. The dominant signal from reviewers and platform write-ups is that this is one of the strongest open-weight models globally right now. That framing comes up consistently, not just from Deep Cogito's own marketing, but from third-party coverage. The Together AI model page, for instance, describes it as matching the performance of frontier closed and open models, and that language is echoed across several independent comparisons.
Matching frontier closed models is a strong claim. Is that holding up under scrutiny?
On specific benchmarks, particularly reasoning and math, the numbers are competitive with models like DeepSeek V3 and in some comparisons with O1. The GPQA Diamond score of 76.8% and the AIM 2025 score of 72.7% are strong numbers for an open-weight model. Where it gets more complicated is on tasks like Humanities Last Exam, where 11% is a relatively modest score, and on agentic benchmarks, which we covered. So the matches frontier framing is accurate in some domains and overstated in others.
You mentioned there was at least one review that was more measured.
Yes, one review we came across scored it moderately, giving it a technical score of 3.8 out of 10 and a content score of 5 out of 10, while acknowledging its strong global standing. The value score was higher, at 6.8, which tracks with the efficiency story. That review noted room for improvement, which is a fair read. It is not a universal 10 out of 10, and anyone treating it as such is not doing the full analysis.
What about the infrastructure side? Engineers care about latency and throughput, not just benchmark scores.
The Fireworks AI deployment data is useful here. They are reporting a time to first token of 367 milliseconds and a throughput of 31 tokens per second. For a 671 billion parameter model, that is a reasonable operational profile. It is not the fastest model you can run, but it is not unusable either. And the fact that it is available across Together, AI, Fireworks, OpenRouter, Besutton, and RunPod, plus self-hosting via Ollama and Unsloth GGUF, means teams have genuine flexibility in how they deploy it.
Any red flags or controversies in the reception?
The main honest criticism is that the benchmark images, rather than tables, make independent verification harder, and the competitive comparisons are somewhat selective in which models get named. That is not unusual for a lab release, but it is worth noting. The reception is positive, and the caution is methodological rather than substantive.
All right, let's land this. If you are an AI professional looking at Cogito V2.1671B right now, what is the actual decision framework? When do you reach for it?
The clearest case is when you need a strong open-weight model for reasoning heavy work and you want to keep token costs down. The efficiency story is real. 60% shorter reasoning chains than comparable models is not a marketing number you can ignore, especially if you are running high-volume inference. For coding tasks, multi-turn conversations, and complex instruction following, the benchmark profile supports it. GPQA Diamond at 76.8, AIM at 72.7, these are competitive numbers in the open-weight tier.
The open-weight status itself is a reason to reach for it?
For a lot of teams, yes. If data privacy is a constraint, if you need to self-host for compliance reasons, or if you want the option to fine-tune, the fact that weights are available on Hugging Face and you can run it locally via Ollama or Unsloth GGUF is a genuine differentiator. The no-storage policy on Deep Cogito's own chat interface is a small but real signal that the lab is thinking about that use case.
When do you not reach for it?
Three clear cases. First, if you need vision, audio, or embedding capabilities, this model does not have them. Second, if your workload is heavily agentic, the terminal bench hard score of 16.7% suggests you should test carefully before committing. Third, if pricing transparency is a hard requirement for your procurement process, the fact that you have to check each platform independently and that rates shift frequently is a friction point worth acknowledging.
The DeepSeek base lineage, is that a concern?
It is a question worth asking in your own organization, particularly around the license terms, which are permissive but not MIT. Teams should read the DeepSeek license before deploying commercially. That is not a red flag. It is due diligence.
The short version.
Strong open-weight option for reasoning, coding, and multi-turn work. Gaps in multimodal capability and agentic tasks. Do your license homework. If those gaps do not apply to your use case, it belongs on your evaluation shortlist.
That is Cogito V2.1671B from Deep Cogito. Thanks for listening to my weird prompts.
This episode's script was written by Claude Sonnet 4.6 with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep, The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.